Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
On this evening's edition of Locked On Broncos, we're going to break down and cover the Denver Broncos versus the Oakland Raiders game that kicks off this Sunday on CBS. You have Tony Romo on the call for the game. That is exciting news. And I don't know, maybe that's just the football enthusiast in me, but I tell you what, I've had the absolute honor of listening to Tony Romo call and break down games from the booth live. And I tell you what, that's very exciting because guess what? A lot of times we watch a game and we don't understand what may be coming next. Tony Romo's sitting there calling the next play before it's even called. He's going on based on how the nickelback safeties lined up and obviously how maybe the offensive line gets a keel call, which may be, you know, the run was planted right now, it's going to the left because of the keel call. Tony Romo does a phenomenal job. If you haven't seen how good Tony Romo is at calling football games, go on over to YouTube right now, type in Tony Romo in the broadcast booth. It is absolutely beautiful stuff, and I'm looking forward to seeing that with, obviously, the Denver Broncos matchup this upcoming Sunday against divisional rival, the Oakland Raiders. They come to town, and I'm sure the stadium is going to have a lot of Broncos fans, is going to have a lot of Raiders fans, because Denver seems to be the capital where all the bandwagon teams come together, and that includes Dallas Cowboys fans, Lakers fans, Yankees fans, whatever it may be. We're going to see a lot of Oakland Raiders fans, but we got to send them back home unhappy as the Denver Broncos hope to come back, obviously, from a very disappointing loss last week against the Buffalo Bills. A tough game, like I said, divisional game. Anytime you play in a divisional opponent, it is absolutely a tough game overall. It'll never be a cakewalk. So the Denver Broncos will cover the keys to success for the Denver Broncos in order for them to come out successful with the win against the Oakland Raiders. Derek Carr, Marshawn Lynch as well. We're going to cover the Oakland Raiders defense as well as the offense and what problems they pose for the Denver Broncos organization this Sunday. That and much more we're going to cover here on tonight's edition of Locked On Broncos.
You are Locked On Broncos, your daily podcast on the Denver Broncos, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
All right, it is Raiders week, and tonight's edition of Locked On Broncos is brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network. Catch up with all the latest NFL news by going over to Matt Williamson's Locked On NFL for all the latest news, updates, and analysis regarding national NFL news across the league, including the Denver Broncos as well. And also be sure to go follow Bill Williamson's Locked On Raiders over there to get an inside scoop. I was unable to get with him for an interview this week due to me going out of town for a big game, obviously, at the high school football level with me coaching. I was unable to get a time that worked for both of us. So the next edition of Locked On Broncos with the Raiders that we do have, I'm going to try to have him on for a recap show as well, just to make up for not being able to preview it together. So head on over to Locked On Raiders, brought to you by Bill Williamson over there. He's a great guy, does phenomenal work, and is always honest and objective as a man who loves the Raiders, obviously, in a very tough division in the AFC West. Very objective guy. Go over there, give him a follow over there as well. So let's break down the big matchup this Sunday. You have the Oakland Raiders coming into town who are coming off a very tough loss on the road against a very solid and underrated Washington Redskins team. Derek Carr struggled. The offense struggled, and ideally it came on the same day that the Denver Broncos struggled against a very underrated and young team in the Buffalo Bills earlier in the afternoon. They lost as well. So currently, obviously, when you have a divisional game, it's absolutely tough, and it's absolutely imperative that overall, when you're going into game prep, you got to factor in that this isn't going to be like any other game, any non-divisional game, because anytime you play in a divisional opponent, you're going to get the other team's A game. Their guys are going to come out and they're going to be ready to ball. And when I look at the Oakland Raiders offense, over the years they've transformed and they actually have had a pretty solid offensive line. Now, there are some question marks with the Oakland Raiders that I have this year based on watching them in several games. And a big key, a guy who, in my opinion, has struggled and hasn't really looked like himself this year, and it's been very odd to me, is Amari Cooper. And I'm going to gauge Twitter's feedback, Locked On Raiders Twitter. I'm going to ask them, you know, what's up with Amari Cooper? Why haven't we seen the same Amari Cooper that we're used to seeing him? I know I picked up Amari Cooper in my fantasy league, and I was quite disappointed I couldn't get the numbers from him, especially when he went up against rookie corner Adoree Jackson over there in Tennessee. You know, it was kind of back and forth. He kind of hit and miss, but you know, I think this is a perfect game for both teams, and it's tough. And obviously, it counts more so than any other game because when you look at the AFC West and you look at any time you play a divisional opponent, you have to win those games in terms of record. Obviously, tiebreakers factor into a major consideration towards the end of the year, especially as playoff seeding is starting to unfold. Anytime you can hold the tiebreaker over a team gives you the advantage. And last year, the Denver Broncos went 1-1 with the Oakland Raiders. Lost on the road on Sunday night football. I remember that game. Lost on the road Sunday night football against the Oakland Raiders away. And Latavius Murray ran wild. And then the Denver Broncos, obviously in the regular season finale, Gary Kubiak's last game as head coach for the Denver Broncos. They came out and absolutely demolished and outworked, outclassed the Raiders. Aqib Talib stuck and he took Michael Crabtree's chain.
Okay, Kevin, for the grand prize of $1 million, what color is the White House?
I know this.
5 seconds.
Oh, switching to Geico could save you a bunch of money on car insurance?
Okay. Judges? That's true, Kevin. They'll allow it. Congratulations. You're a winner.
Woo! Geico, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.
Jacked it from him, became all Debo. So we're going to see Debo versus Michael Crabtree once again this weekend. Got to hope Crabtree doesn't wear a chain this time, but I wouldn't be surprised we see it and we see some hype and some little animosity and chirpiness going on between Aqib Talib and Michael Crabtree this weekend. I see them matching up. I see Chris Harris Jr. matching up on Amari Cooper, obviously. But then I think Bradley Roby will match up against Seth Roberts and Cordarrelle Patterson as well. But ideally, when I look at the Denver Broncos, I think that the Denver Broncos have to improve in their safety play. And what I mean by that is tight ends and slot receivers are having field days against the Denver Broncos secondary due to the safety play. And this is what I said, and I said it a few weeks ago after the Denver Broncos released T.J. Ward. At some point, the team is going to miss the leadership that T.J. Ward had, and I currently don't see that out there in the secondary in terms of the safety position. Now, I see Chris Harris Jr. and Aqib Talib doing everything they can to lead and to fire guys up, but I don't see that anchor out there where like T.J. Ward, he brought the thunder. You knew he was just this notorious player out there on the field, and we haven't seen that. And that's something I think the Denver Broncos are missing is leadership in that area, and it's hard to have leadership there when you're a young guy. So at the end of the day, when you look at it and you combine all these things, it's almost easy to kind of come to the conclusion that the Denver Broncos defense is hurting in terms of leadership in the secondary. You know, when you think of a free safety, a standard free safety in the NFL, you think of a guy who, like Cam Chancellor, Earl Thomas, those guys who communicate and they fly around and they're always in position. Now, it seems like when I went back and watched film against Buffalo, it just felt like our safeties were out of position on multiple, occasions in the past game, and preferably they had a wide receiver, one single receiver, split out. They went double tight, receiver split close to the line of scrimmage that Chris Harris, he just ran a pretty much a 10-yard, dig route, 10-yard, he got depth on a drag, and he caught it, and obviously it was like a big 17-yard gain. There was no safety up. The safety didn't help on the inside, so Chris Harris Jr. technically had to cover all the way across the field. That was a hard thing, and you can't expect any defensive back to have to cover for more than 4.5 seconds. Now, when we break down the anatomy of a football play, you got to average in that most plays on average last 4.3 to 4.5 seconds. Now, the plays that go longer usually are extended by foot. There's a breakdown and pass pro quarterbacks got to scramble out, throw the ball. It takes a lot longer. But the standard play, you know, with a drop back, you know, snap, drop back, throw, completion is about 4.5 seconds. Now, for the Denver Broncos, their DBs were covering way too long yesterday, you know, last Sunday against the Buffalo Bills. Now, against Derek Carr, Derek Carr's got a quick release. He's got a good arm and he's very smart in the pocket. He's going to be one of the toughest challenges, in my opinion, for the Denver Broncos this year, outside of Tom Brady playing the quarterback position. He's got a quick release. He knows where the ball's going, and he's proven to be one of the most improved quarterbacks, and obviously a guy who may be considered a franchise-level quarterback, stable name all the way across the NFL. So let's break down the Oakland Raiders offense right now. I'm going to go through the depth chart. Obviously, at quarterback, you have Derek Carr, and obviously, you have a guy, beast mode, at running back with Marshawn Lynch. Now, as much as I don't like the Raiders, I absolutely love Marshawn Lynch, and the same thing can be said for as much as I hate the Patriots, I love Rob Gronkowski. It's just the personality, guys. Now, you got him at running back. He's a guy you're going to have to rally to each play and wrap up and bring down, because you can't try to arm tackle him. You can't try to one-on-one tackle him. You have to hold on for dear life, let the defense swarm, and you have to gang tackle. So, you have Marshawn Lynch at running back, and you have Amari Cooper, and you have Michael Crabtree over there at wide receiver, and a guy who's going to rotate at wide out that's going to play a pivotal role for the Oakland Raiders is Seth Roberts and maybe Cordarrelle Patterson, who's more so in the kick return, punt return game. But I would look at Seth Roberts, you know, with he's always been the guy. He's been the guy this year for the Raiders that's made those big plays when teams have bracket covered Amari Cooper and Michael Crabtree couldn't get off of, you know, off coverage of Josh Norman over there in Washington. Now, we need to shift our focus over to the offensive line, who's they've been one of the best O-lines in football the last couple years outside of the Dallas Cowboys. And it all starts, in my opinion, with Donald Penn at the tackle position. He obviously held out for a little bit, left tackle. He's proven to be one of the anchors on their offensive line. Then you have Kelechi Osemele at left guard, Rodney Hudson, a veteran guy at center, Gabe Jackson at right guard, and Marshall Newhouse over at right tackle. They're pretty solid all across the board, you know, especially with the run game that they've established, obviously last year with Latavius Murray, and now you're trying to establish the same exact thing with Marshawn Lynch, and they've looked good doing it. They just keep feeding Marshawn Lynch, and against the Tennessee Titans, we saw them milk the clock by technically just giving the ball to Marshawn Lynch every single play. I would look for them to try to do the same thing. They're going to try to establish the run. I would not be surprised if Jack Del Rio and the Raiders offense come out on the first series and try to go deep on the first play or the second play, just to get some momentum going. Obviously, we can see a run with Marshawn Lynch on the first, but I think this big game that they have, they're going to try to test the Denver Broncos secondary real quick, get the ball out on a quick fade, you know, in terms of where Von Miller can't get to Derek Carr. Now, Von Miller's always played big against Derek Carr and the Raiders. He's always had strip sack fumbles. Now, it's going to be a test. Can you get there in time? Because he does have one of the quickest releases in the NFL in Derek Carr. So that's one thing, you know, as much as I don't like the Raiders, the Raiders team over the last couple of years has transformed it to a team that reminds me of a team that can compete every single year. Almost reminds me going back to the old San Diego Chargers when Jay Cutler was quarterback for the Broncos. They are becoming that competitive, and that's scary, and I hate to admit that, but the Oakland Raiders proved to be a very tough test for the Denver Broncos and the Kansas City Chiefs over in the AFC West. And when we look at the AFC West, defense is a primitive focus, except if you're the Los Angeles Chargers. Now, the Raiders' defense has been a little tenacious. They have guys that can absolutely disrupt the flow of a game, and we've seen that with Khalil Mack. Obviously, if I'm an offensive coordinator, I'm going through and I'm looking at a list of guys who could potentially wreck the game for us and cause havoc, and I'm circling Khalil Mack's name. He's especially out there. He's a walk-up DN hybrid outside linebacker, and he's absolutely caused havoc in the last couple years, and it's been him and Von Miller who've been top guys in the league in sacks, and obviously Khalil Mack last year won Defensive Player of the Year voting by one vote over Von Miller. And, you know, I may be biased in thinking this, but I think Von Miller got robbed despite that he had more sacks than Khalil Mack. And a lot of times, Pro Football Focus grades out Khalil Mack higher than Von Miller. And I don't know exactly what criteria plays into that. So going through all that, let's take a look at the defense for the Oakland Raiders and what problems they may pose for Trevor Siemian and the Denver Broncos offense. Obviously, we're going to start on the defensive line. You have nose tackle Justin Ellis, Eddie Vanderdoes at D tackle, and obviously at D end, you have Mario Edwards Jr. and Khalil Mack. Now, Mario Edwards is a guy who Vance Joseph is very familiar with, so I imagine Vance Joseph's input as a coach to offensive coordinator Mike McCoy about what they can do to Mario Edwards' side can be something that can be beneficial to, obviously, to the offensive side of the ball as well. And then you have, obviously, Khalil Mack on one side. You're going to have to run up underneath him if you can pull out a guard and kick out. And, obviously, Sam linebacker Bruce Irvin, he's an old guy. He's playing really well. Marquel Lee, a middle linebacker. Corey James, a will linebacker. And then you have David Imerson over at left corner. And, obviously, Gerrion Conley, rookie out of Ohio State, who rotates in as well. He's got a shin injury. He did not participate in Wednesday's practice. And then, obviously, on the right side, you have Sean Smith, TJ Carey, and then obviously coming over from Cincinnati, veteran safety Reggie Nelson, and a strong safety Carl Joseph. So they, on paper, the Oakland Raiders have a pretty solid defense. They can cause a lot of fits for the Denver Broncos offense. And if I'm Jack Del Rio, I'm telling my defensive coordinator, you need to do whatever you can to attack number 75, Menelik Watson. Now, I think that Garrett Bowles has Trevor Siemian's blind side. I've seen in three games, I've seen nothing but heart and grit and nastiness from Garrett Bowles. And he also played through that injury against the Buffalo Bills and ragdolled some people. I'm very proud of Garrett Bowles. It's safe to say, in my opinion, that Garrett Bowles was a valuable first round draft pick based on three games right now. If I look at the three games and I have to make a decision, was he a good draft pick or not? He's absolutely phenomenal. He was the one that the Denver Broncos needed. Now their struggle is at right tackle with Menelik Watson, who is a former Oakland Raider from last year coming over. So Jack Del Rio, Khalil Mack obviously knows what he can do against Menelik Watson. So the Denver Broncos have to come out and they have to help Menelik Watson, who's just not quick enough to get off edge rusher guys, or he lets them inside and then it disrupts the complete flow of the offensive side of the ball. So I would look at all these things as potential keys to watch for, especially with Khalil Mack on Menelik Watson's side. We're going to see that. So I envision Denver keeping A.J. Derby, you know, Virgil Green, Jeff Hireman in at tight end to help block Khalil Mack, and maybe even add some chip with a running back. You know, Jamal Charles has proved to be one of the toughest blocking running backs in the NFL. Despite his size, we saw that against the Green Bay Packers where he picked up a full slab on a defensive end as well. So those are some guys that can absolutely disrupt the flow of what the Denver Broncos are trying to do offensively, especially.
And now, insurance-minded speeches from Geico.
It's a common expression, don't look a gift horse in the mouth. However, what if the horse's mouth is filled with useful insurance tools? This is the exact case with the Geico app. Yes, the app is free and therefore a gift horse. However, look inside the app and behold, emergency roadside assistance, digital ID cards, bill pay. Get the Geico app. Look it in the mouth. Get amazing services. Thank you.
After coming off a game where they struggled to move the ball down the field and to finish drives, obviously, even in the red zone, the Denver Broncos will have their hands full this week against Oakland as well. And with that, I'm going to finish off the show by covering my three keys to the game that the Denver Broncos must have in order to be successful against Oakland. And first, I'm going to look at the offensive side of the ball. You have to limit the ability for Khalil Mack to disrupt the offensive flow. You have to chip him. You have to do whatever you can. Bring a tight end to double team Khalil Mack. He cannot impact the football game by getting to the quarterback. If he does, then it's going to be a long day for the Denver Broncos. If you can stop Khalil Mack and you can execute and balance the run game between pass and run and execute efficiently and minimize mistakes offensively, the Denver Broncos can come out here and help the Denver Broncos win the game. Now, defensively, you have to get to the quarterback. Plain and simple. The key this week for the Denver Broncos is to get to Derek Carr, because if you do not cause pressure for Derek Carr and he has time to throw the ball, he's going to be accurate. He's a very accurate quarterback. He's got a quick release. So get to Derek Carr, disrupt the passing passing game. And obviously, when Marshawn Lynch is running at you, you have to gang tackle and wrap him up, or else he's going to have a field day running all over. And obviously, in short yard situations, you got to stack the box. You know he's either going to run a stretch or he's going to run a dive play. And so at that point, you have to strike. The defensive line has to do a better job this week at maintaining gap integrity. And if they do that, then they can be successful. Now, the third key to the game this week for the Denver Broncos, first and foremost, is going to be, obviously, in the special teams game, I think it can be the X factor. It's going to be the difference maker. And for the Denver Broncos to come out and win this game, I expect maybe we might even see Isaiah McKenzie return a punt for a touchdown or a kickoff for a touchdown. Actually, I don't even know if he's not back there on kickoff. It's Cody Latimer. So you got to hope Isaiah McKenzie can come out here, return a punt for a touchdown as well. He came close several times. Now, this is going to be the week, divisional game, divisional rival, where Isaiah McKenzie breaks off and runs loose. So with that, I'd like to thank you all for listening to tonight's edition of Locked On Broncos. This is your host, Cody Rourke, reminding you to go to iTunes right now and leave a review for the show, and you will be entered for a chance to win a free Pro Football Focus Edge subscription brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network and Pro Football Focus. You just got to go to Locked On Broncos on iTunes, go over, write a review, give it a 5-star rating, 4-star rating, whatever you think the show is to you. Rate the show, leave your Twitter handle, and they'll go through and they'll select a random winner to receive a free Pro Football Focus Edge subscription. You want the latest game-changing analytics and grading statistics and formula for based on being in alignment if you're a defensive back, and obviously all the other defensive formulas, offensive grading as well. Pro Football Focus has you covered with the latest grades, analysis of your favorite team, obviously the Denver Broncos. They'll break it down, game performances of the top 5 players who grade out each week over at Pro Football Focus. And be sure to follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Broncos and at Cody Rourke NFL. We have some very exciting news coming your way at the Locked On Podcast Network, so I want you guys to stay tuned for that. When the time is right, we'll break it down. We'll share the news. Very excited about the future of Locked On Broncos and where we are headed going forward. And it all, like I said, this show cannot be possible without you guys who are the listeners, the fans of the show, who support and listen every single day. Locked On Broncos fans, I appreciate you. I love you guys from the bottom of my heart. Catch me this weekend, obviously, with the Denver Broncos game. But we're going to break it down at halftime on Periscope and with the post-game report at Locked On Broncos. We're going to get all that and much more. This is your host, Cody Rourke, saying good night and go Broncos.
Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa auto parts stores while supplies last. Minimum 3 items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.